Surprise! It's the news. Surprise! Didn't see that coming, did you? Surprise! It's the news, according to me. Oh, big surprises here today. Big surprise. And prizes. Prizes and surprises today here on the show. We have a lot of prizes, of which I'll win all of them. You won't get any. That's beside the point. I'm happy about it. And we'll discuss what's in my cup, because that's important. Everybody wants to know. I have dogs at my feet. Now they decide to come in and be quiet. Okay. Oh, look, they're all going to sleep underneath my desk. They love this part of the time of the show. They love this part of the show when I do my introduction. They all come running around and making noises. Big surprises in store for us today. I'll be talking about some surprises that happened about a month ago. Over a month ago. I'm just now talking about it. We'll talk about all that. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about after this brief commercial message. That was brief enough. This is not a sponsored podcast, by the way. So I just appreciate all it costs you is to share it, like it, subscribe, and you must listen to the end. You have to listen to this whole thing to the very end. That's all it's going to cost you. You can't hang up on it. Today's show is not live, in case you want to know. It is Tuesday, October 19th, 10:41 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as I am sitting down here at the chair. Now, it is recorded live, if that makes a difference to you. I don't edit anything. If I do any editing, it's prior to the show, and I have it on the fly here with my little Rodecaster Pro that I use. I notice a lot of podcasters use nowadays. I think that the Rode is probably sold a million of these things, which means they are a $1 billion company. I was like, ain't cheap. The little booger works really well, and it's small enough you can pack it in a small suitcase. I need to take some measurements and build myself a little, put together a little box. I can put this thing in so I can take it on the road. I've got two of these. I've got a backup. I've got one at my home studio. I've got one here. That way everything sounds the same. I have the identical microphone interface system, and even the computer is the same. Not that that matters, but it's at both the, that way I run the same software. At both locations, at my home studio as well as the studio here at the home office. Not the home office, but the home studio. This is the home base, I guess. So there you go. Oh yeah, I was just informed that just got an email. I had to look at that. Because this is live. This is all happening live. I have to look at this stuff when it comes in because, you know, it's important information. Yeah. One more thing I have to do before the end of the month. Not sure I'm going to get that done. But yesterday I spent a long time cleaning up some stuff in my house. Getting out. I've got a 4-car garage. And only one car is in the garage. I have 4 cars. That means 3 of them are parked outside. Winter is coming. And that ain't going to work. So yesterday I spent a lot of time rooting through and routing through a whole bunch of junk that has piled up. And it's not like it's just junk. It's stuff that's happened. My father passed away a few years ago. And so I had to snatch up some stuff from his house and kind of store it. I just kept throwing it in the garage, get it out of the weather, some furniture and some other things. And then we had some other stuff going on. We had we discovered that my mom had needed memory care. I thought my dad was crazy, but he was telling us that mom was losing her mind. He was right. Because she hit it very well when he was around. But, and she could still drive and stuff, but Yeah, that went became very obvious within about the first, 6 months to a year after he was gone. And then, so now she's in a facility. Well, we had to, had to sell the house, get her out of there. So all this stuff that my dad had accumulated over the 82 years of his life. And had to deal with all that stuff. So, in fact, we left a lot of it behind, unfortunately, because some of the things I really wish I could have taken with me, but couldn't. So, ended up with that whole situation, and a lot of that stuff went into my garage. So the and some of it didn't fit in my garage, so it's outside. Like there was a lawnmower, stuff like that. A couple of lawnmowers, actually. Which is, I can use it because I've got 7 acres of lawn to mow, but it's the kind of mower that doesn't have a zero turn. It's a long story. It's a long story. And it's getting longer, and I've got a lot to talk about. But surprise, it's all about surprise here today. So that's the name of the show, is Surprise Today. So I'm surprising you with this big long wasted story. So I'm tired. But all that to say, I'm tired. I got one of the cars in. The one that really matters. I got it inside. So now we can put 2 cars in. By the end of November, I plan to have space for another car. Actually, I've got a truck and another car. But the one car probably will be parked someplace at an undisclosed location at an airport that I'm probably going to be frequenting. So it's not really going to be around that much. Possibly. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. Because I do stuff down in Atlanta, Dayton, Ohio, up in Wisconsin. And I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to keep that car. Kind of thinking Atlanta might be the place to keep it, but I don't trust it down there. Because there's been a lot of that particular area where I have to keep it, there's been a lot of theft. A lot of cars broken into and a lot of cars stolen. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. Yeah, so there you go. That's the story. That's my story. Surprise! So here we go. We got a cup. We also got a backup cup because this might be a long show today. Got a lot to talk about, even though I might get, who knows, it might only take 30 minutes. I don't know. I feel like I've got a lot to talk about, and yet probably actually don't have a lot to talk about. I mean, this may not last very long. I don't know. So this could go just like no time at all. So now I'm trying to pull up. I got this thing of, I don't really need any notes today. I thought I might pull this up and maybe pull up some headlines, but I don't see. Where's my headline thing? I don't see it anywhere. Oh, that's interesting. A lot of times I look at the headlines from Reliable News Now. Or Reliable News. No, what is it? Reliable News. No. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it is. So there's just some interesting headlines, but here's the one that just really tops the cake, I think. And that's a new phrase. You've heard takes the cake. This is tops the cake. And what you put on top of the cake is a bigger deal than what takes the cake. We know what takes the cake. A glutton for cake. You never know what's on top of the cake. That's why it's a surprise. So today, this October 19th, Tuesday, 2021, as I'm drinking my chai with Almond Joy Creamer in it. It's vanilla chai with Almond Joy Creamer. It's good stuff. My backup cup is yet to be disclosed. If I finish this cup of chai, which I probably will because I've already been working this morning here in the office, doing what I do best, making lots of money. Before 9 o'clock. I typically try to make tons of money. Loads. Bucketfuls. Coming out of the spigot of my pipes here. The I just rake it in. I got this big front end loader that just pulls in here and just unloads all the money into my office here as I'm making money. That's what I do in the mornings. And then the rest of the day, I just mess around, goof around with podcasts. With this one, anyway. I got some others I'm working on. One of them, I think, is going to be another million-dollar project. It's going to bring in, you know, truckloads of money, shiploads. They're going to have to dig a canal up here to my office so they can get the ship in to offload all the money that's coming in. But I don't want to brag about that. So I'll just talk about it. I'm not going to brag. I'm just going to talk about it. So the big basic point here that I'm trying to get to, which I just have to get myself out of the way so I can talk about this, because right now myself is in the way, which is, you know, I don't see it as a bad thing. You might. Some people might say, oh, you're full of yourself. Well, I'm glad I'm not full of somebody else or full of something else. I'd rather be full of myself than I can think of a lot of the things I wouldn't want to be full of. So, now what motivates me? It's a whole different story. So, enough frivolity. We're in a serious situation here. Now, bear with me as I look a little bit sideways at all the things that are going on in the political theater. This should be the podcast of my critique of public theater. That's kind of maybe a subtitle of this podcast, The News According to Me, or in other words, my critique of the political theater. Maybe that's what it should be called. And now it's time for Political Theater Critique by Kevin. As I drink my chai with my pinky in the air. So we have, all of a sudden, now this happened back in August. Now think about what was going on back in August. We had, of course, MSNBC was talking about Trump going to jail. We had Congress flailing around and roundabout talking about the Republicans dragging their feet and causing the country to go broke because they wouldn't know spend, because they didn't want to borrow $3 or $4 trillion, because, you know, it was a zero game. We're gonna mint a $1 trillion coin. That's gonna pay for our debt. it costs $1 trillion to mint a $1 trillion coin. Yeah, it's. I'll get into more of that later. This whole Joe Biden thing, and you know, everything he talks about. It's, every decision this guy makes is wrong. Everything he tells us the opposite is true. And yet Trump is the one we had problems with. He told 300,000 lies his first 10 days in office. The lunacy that we have to deal with the media is beyond the pale. I just do not understand. And then their self-indulgence and their own self-importance. They think that they're a part of the Constitution. They think they're a part of the political process, the part of the institution of our government. They're not. They're protected by the First Amendment and free speech. Unfortunately, they have taken it upon themselves to think that they are a part of our government. Well, if they are, I want to tell Joe Biden, because he won't even talk to him half the time. Which I think is probably a good move for him politically. Because he usually just puts his, I don't even know if he puts his foot in his mouth. I'm not even sure if that's a correct statement either, because he doesn't really do that. He's not sure what he puts in his mouth. What comes out of his mouth bothers me. So the surprise, guess what we have here? Oh, guess what? The Chinese, who are denying this, by the way, they're denying this whole report. Well, no, this was all just for civilian use only. It's nothing we do is for the military. Well, of course, Chinese aren't building up their military at all. No, no, not at all. We're not trying to scare anybody by sending a signal that we have hypersonic missiles. It's called the glide technology, or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. They launch this thing with a rocket, and then it basically goes into orbit at hypersonic speed, which is about, I think, 5 times the speed of sound. Which, you know, that's fast. I think it can go around the Earth. I believe it goes around the entire Earth in 1 hour. If I'm understanding it correctly, I think, or maybe it's a little more than that, hour and a half. I think, depending on the orbit it's in, how far away from the Earth it is, from the apex of the radius of the hypotenuse square times 4. I think you have to take 9 times the square root of the tire pressure, something like that. I'm not sure what it is. It gives you the hydroplaning speed. So we have the situation here where this didn't just happen. Okay, this is just being reported now. All of a sudden it came out in the news reports. This is October 19th. This happened in August. August, over a month ago. Over a month ago. Almost a month and a half ago. While all the political theater was going on here, supposedly the Chinese launched this missile. We'll call it a missile just for the sake of, that's what we're going to call it. Hypersonic thing. That apparently only the U.S., Russia, had the technology for. Now, we have these missiles. The U.S. does have these missiles. Now, they say that they're hard to track. You can't track them. They're highly maneuverable and hard to track. Okay. The statements I'm hearing here don't make any sense. They don't add up. I tend to be one who listens to stuff like this, and then I go, okay, that doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. Now, a couple things have come out about this. Now, keep in mind the term political theater and how our military has operated in the past. I'm almost out of chai. That's good. That's some good chai, though. This is really good chai this morning. I'm not sure why it's so good. It's really smooth. It just goes right down. But it's, alas, my cup is empty. So now I'm switching over to my backup cup, which has sweet tea in it. Homemade sweet tea. And it's just perfect for washing down hot chai. So it just refreshes the mouth, and it's like a burst of refreshment. So So let's play this out. Okay, this is what we're being told. This is what the American people are being told, and we're supposed to somehow believe all this crap. First of all, you have one communist government playing games with another communist government, with the propaganda machines on both sides. One, the Chinese are sending a signal. Sending a signal. This is back about the time Millie Vanilli was doing his thing too as well, by the way, beginning of August. They're sending a signal that, hey, we can attack you summarily at our leisure and make it very difficult for you to respond. Now, do I think that the Chinese are going to just bomb the daylights out of us and just drop bombs everywhere and blow us all up? No. I think it would be detrimental to their mission. What would they do with a nuclear weapon? It would only take a couple of them, in fact. We are very vulnerable in one area in this country. It's called an EMP. Now, they claim that this thing was about 25 miles off target. Well, with an EMP, it doesn't matter too much. 25 miles is, you know. We used to say when we were kids, you know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. And, of course, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we would say horseshoes and hand grenades and atomic weapons. We actually did say that. You can be, you know, a couple miles off and still, have, you know, be pretty effective with an atomic bomb. So we have this situation now where China is denying that this was a military operation. Of course, they can deny that all day long. They know they want us to believe. They want the message to be sent to the military. Look what we have. Now, what's unusual about this? Now, our military, now, I'll continue on with what's going on here with the theater, and then we'll critique it. So at the same time, the military is coming out and say, oh, this was a military act. They can put a nuclear weapon on this thing. It's very hard to track, and we were surprised. All of our intelligence agencies, here's a big surprise. All of our intelligence agencies, I'll get my mouth to work here in a minute. It's done a lot of work here this morning. I've been talking a lot. You haven't heard me talk a lot, but I've been doing a lot of work this morning. It's so steaming. I need to cool it off with my sweet tea here. The intelligence agencies were surprised by this. They had no idea the Chinese had such technology. Hello. How much money do the 17, at least, intelligence agencies that we have, how much money do they get in black bag funding that we don't even know where it goes? Billions and billions of dollars. The intelligence agencies that are so caught up and infatuated and just have to find out what the American people are doing because they have to protect us against the insurgents and the white supremacists, domestic terrorists that attacked us on January 6th. We're busy looking through all the video of getting all the facial recognition, sending people out to arrest them because they were trying to protect the democracy. Oh, wait, no, they were trying to destroy democracy. They're trying to take over the government. No, they were trying to restore the government. I don't know what they were trying to do. They're insurgents. It was an insurrection, armed insurrection. People died. Bloody insurrection. Worst attack on our capital since the Civil War, which is also incorrect. There have been many attacks on the Capitol building they don't want you to know about in the last 200 years. But they won't talk about it. Much worse, in fact. So the intelligence agencies come out and they say, whoa, this surprised us. Military leaders, this is concerning. This is very concerning. Because they're hard to track. They're very maneuverable. They're hard to track, and they could, you know, present a tremendous threat to us. Now, let's just break this down a little bit. Let's go into the critique part of this process. Let me talk about this a little bit. Now, I'm no military expert. I'm no weapons expert. I'm just a guy with a microphone. I read a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. That's about it. And I'm also on Rumble. I tell you, if Rumble was free to do live broadcasting on, to do live videos, live streaming, I'd be on there every day, probably three times a day, doing a live stream. If Rumble could figure out a way to monetize that in a way that they could, I think that they would explode. I think they would take over YouTube, in my opinion. If someone just came up with a live streaming platform that was just for live streaming, they would overtake YouTube in a month. People are going more and more to the live stream thing. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to be there to live stream. This is the beauty of live streaming. You can pre-record something and play it as a live stream. If you have the right kind of software, you can go live and play that video. Now, while that video is playing, you can be sitting there answering questions. You can be typing in the chat box. I've done this before. Back when YouTube was, you know, more of a free country type thing. It amazes me that big tech is taking over the country in terms of the social aspect of our ability to, for free speech and those kinds of things. Oh, we're not stopping anybody from free speech. You have the right to go out and say whatever you want to. Yeah, well, this is not America if, you know, the main means that by which people communicate is being, you know, which they have protection from the government. This is just crony capitalism. Well, they're a private organization. They can do whatever they want. No, they can't. They can't. They shouldn't have that kind of protection. They are a platform. They're not a producer. They're not a publisher. So anyway, I digress. I'm going off on a tangent again, which is, you know, the other name of this show is Off on a Tangent. Political theater, tangent, critique. Here's what I struggle with this whole thing with regard to everything that they're saying. First of all, the military is coming out and saying, we didn't know anything about it. Like the intelligence agencies, they're coming out and saying, we didn't know about this. They've got to have weighed out the possibilities of what they're saying. They didn't just come out and say, just stick a camera in front of my face. So that's the other thing too. These statements are prepared. Don't think for a minute that there's a camera waiting at every desk in the intelligence agencies and they just pop up and say, we didn't see that coming. No, they have these statements prepared. These are very well crafted. They know what they're doing. They're playing this game of act dumb. Think back to the Star Wars thing, the legislation that President Reagan was trying to enact. This idea that we're going to put satellites in the sky with missiles, and we're going to have them hovering over China and Russia, mostly Russia. Russia was the big boogeyman back then, at that time. And there was this Cold War thing going on, I don't know if you heard about that. And so this thing is going on, and basically, we bluffed them. We gave them the impression that we had this technology, and we were going to put it up there, and we could take them out in a heartbeat. And we're talking missiles, missiles being launched by the droves about 100 miles away from you, straight down out of the sky. Boom. By the hundreds. And that just, they were trying to spend money to keep their military machine going, and they realized they had just lost the Cold War. There's no way they had the money to do this. They were being squeezed from every side. A lot of other things were going on in the world at the time, and a lot of economic issues. So the system collapsed. The Soviet Union, as it were, with all the countries that were a part of it, collapsed. So Mother Russia, they retracted back to Mother Russia. Well, Mother Russia never really collapsed. There was a huge military infrastructure that basically became unusable, and they started parking boats and planes. Didn't mean they didn't have any that they were keeping in commission. They just put a bunch of them in, you know, they pickled a bunch of them. And not very well, I might say. So, of course, the political theater existed back then too. So these are reports we were getting. However, now we find out, you know, the Russian military never really went away. The Soviet Union did, but the Russian military didn't. They went through some tough times, but they didn't collapse. I have a dog in the background who's trying to dig a hole in my carpet. I think that's going to make it more comfortable. You'd think after, you know, several years they'd figure it out. I think it just might feel good on his paws. Maybe, I don't know. So all this is going on. This whole thing basically was all political theater. They basically said we had the technology, we were launching it, we were doing all this stuff. And the Russians, they didn't want to take a chance that we were bluffing. So they were spending the money like crazy, and they just overspent and got into a bad situation and realized they had no defense against this. Okay, so fast forward 40 years. We have now, you know, people on the scene who are coming out and making statements. Don't kid yourself. The Chinese saying what they're saying. Oh, this is just, it's no, we're friendly. We're friendly. Yeah. Oh, no problem. We're just doing this for our own purposes. No military. Our military knows better. And to think that, first of all, the intelligence agencies have to come out and weigh out this one particular issue. One is, if we say it caught us by surprise, how does that make us look to the American people? That looks inept. If we come out and say we knew about it, it makes us look even more inept because we didn't do anything about it. Now, Circleback Psaki comes out in a news conference. I'm going to start to just having to do, like, every time she comes out with a news conference every morning, little news thing she does every morning, press briefing. I might have to just do, like, a short synopsis of her stuff and just, like, do, like, a short type thing where I talk about her stupid comments. Well, you know, we appreciate... How was it? Whatever she said, just appreciate her. So we encourage competition. That's what the Cold War was. I don't know if she understands what the Cold War was. The whole military buildup, it's called the nuclear arms race. That was competition. Did you appreciate that when both sides were building up nuclear weapons beyond, you know, the ability to blow up the entire world 5, 7, or 8 times? I don't know. Oh yeah, we encourage that. Yeah, that's good competition. That's just it's like a race. It's like an Olympics event. See who can build the most nuclear weapons in a month. We encourage that kind of competition. This is an arms race, and you're encouraging it. When the price of gas goes up. Well, it's just because demand is so high right now, because the economy is so good. The economy is so good, the prices are going up. Can you say stupid? Can really? Well, you know, and now we have Pete Buttigieg coming out. Oh, all I have to do is say this. He came out from his 2 months of paternity leave. I guess his husband had a baby or twins. I'm not sure which one of them had them. I'm not sure what's going on there. That's not going to end well for him. That's not going to be a good situation. They're living in this fallacy land where they present something before the press as an example couple. And it is not going to end well. I can just guarantee you. Because Pete, who is the mayor here in South Bend, town next to mine, was a mess as a mayor. He always pulled this, oh, I've got something I got to go do. I have to step out for a couple months while investigations are going on. This is his life in politics. I got called out to National Guard. National Guard called me out because there's a scandal going on here. I'm sorry, I can't be here. I gotta go National Guard. I'm being called up to go to Afghanistan. He never went to Afghanistan. He stayed in the States. Claimed he was going overseas. Well, that's okay. Media was okay with that. Because, what he was doing was stuff for the troops in Afghanistan, but he wasn't in Afghanistan. Which, now has turned out to be a major debacle. So, again, political theater thing. So the intelligence agencies have to come out and basically look like, oh, we didn't know about this. Of course, if they say they knew about it, for one, it tells the Chinese that we knew about it. And then they'll wonder how we knew about it. If we tell them we don't know about it, and they think they've surprised us, then they have no idea where the leaks are, because they don't think there's any leaks. Oh, look what we did. We just surprised them. Of course, the Chinese probably are thinking, they knew about it. Just like they know that this is a military operation. We know they're lying. They know we know they're lying. We know they know we know they know we're lying, but they're still lying. So this whole thing goes back and forth. And we run into this situation where we have, again, political theater. You have to keep this. Think about this. Everything that you are hearing in the news and all the speeches that are being made are not spontaneous. I just heard Carmella again yesterday. Was it yesterday? Had a little speech about whatever she was doing about climate change. And she was talking in 3-word statements. She would say 3 words at a time, 3 or 4 words, as she was doing her speech. This is the way she would do it, nodding her head, flapping her elbows as she was talking. And a lot of times she does what I call upspeak, which is very Australian, by the way. I don't know if you've ever noticed. People from Australia, they like to end every sentence with an uptick, almost like they're asking a question. And it gets really annoying when people do that. And everything she was saying, it never landed. There was never a word that landed. You're always kind of waiting for, when is this sentence going to land? At least that's the way I am. Maybe it's just me. I want someone to have a definitive answer and land on a sentence with a word that ends the sentence right now. That's the way that should work. The sentence needs to have a landing word. They never do that. They just keep talking. And they always end every sentence like they're asking a question. And I feel like I should give an answer. But they never know. They never really commit to anything at all because they never really say anything. So it's always non-committal, and every statement that they make. Anyway, I digress. This is why my shows last so long, because I get these tangents fill in the blanks. I have about 5 minutes worth of content and about 55 minutes worth of tangents. But at least I'm not some people. I won't name any names. But the one fellow I'm thinking of rhymes with Sean Hannity. He just has the same talking points every night. He just talks about the same stuff. Every night. And he has these little things he goes, and he gets the same commentators on every night. I don't know if you've noticed that. He has the same contributors. Now we're going to talk to whatever, this guy. Got three different, like he has like 5 different people he chooses from. We're going to get this guy's take. Now we're going to get this guy's take. And every night it's the same thing. And then as he gets them on there and he asks them a question, he doesn't let them answer. He just jumps in with his little tirade. Oh, they just want dirty water, dirty air, dirty blah, 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 whatever it is. He starts filling in the blanks with all his talking points. And it gets the next guy on there, same thing. Well, they just want dirty water, dirty air. I like Sean. Don't get me wrong. He's not, I think he's probably a decent feller. I don't know. But I just, the show just seems to be the same rhetoric over and over and over. Unlike this show. It's just the same show over and over and over and over. Just me talking about my cup, which is, by the way, very tasty. So keep in mind all this stuff, all the political theater, and this is where it spills over into the media, because the media is obviously controlled by the same people who are paying for the politicians, because they're right on track with each other. One of them will give the other one a suggestion as to what the narrative should be and what the games they should play with the words. So we have this this military situation now. Okay, so I think they have to very carefully weigh this out, because they don't want the Chinese to know that they knew, even though the Chinese probably know that they knew. So they're both coming out lying. Chinese saying, oh, it's not military, and our military and intelligence saying, oh, it surprised us. We didn't have any idea. Now, the thought here, and the perception is, and it could very easily be false, because they pulled this over on the Russians, they could be very easily pulling it over on us. The thought here is that I know that supposedly we've already had this technology, and we've tested it, supposedly. Supposedly, our technology is so far advanced that we already have defense against this thing, supposedly. Now, think about the chess game that we're playing here and how this could play out. If you're playing chess and you're making these moves and you act like, oh no, you just moved your rook there, oh no. And you make these, you start sweating from your brow and start worrying about the checkmate thing. Oh my goodness, they've almost got us in checkmate and we're in a terrible situation. All the while, they continue down this, and you know the road they're going down. And you're having them play into your hand, so to speak, in such a way that they make the maneuver. They go ahead. They try it. And all of a sudden they realize we have defense against it. Well, maybe we do. I don't know. You know, lasers are very, very impressive things. It is very possible that we have laser systems throughout the country, because we have experimented with lasers for decades. They're putting them on airplanes. They're able to cut through all kinds of stuff. It is very, very possible that we have like an Iron Dome type system here in the United States. I don't know. The perception is we have some kind of technology that can defeat this thing. When they come out and say it's very difficult to track them, well, that means that we probably can track them. First of all, the Chinese are controlling them. So how would you control something you can't track? If they're able to control them once they're in the... that's the thing. They even came out and said, well, they're able to control them once they're in the air. They can keep them maneuver. They're very highly maneuverable. And it makes it very hard for us to track them because they go so fast. No, we track every stinking satellite in orbit around this planet. Some of them are going that fast. It's basically what it's doing. It's going in a hypersonic orbit. We have plenty of satellites that do that, zipping around the Earth. To think that we can't track them is absolutely insane. So there's some kind of political theater going on there. That's all I'm saying. And I wanted to carry. I'm getting a phone call, so I hope you can probably hear that in the background. My phone is going nuts right now. I'm going to reach over, cancel that little buzzer. There we go, because it's annoying. So yes, here we are now. And now they're coming out with all this information a month and a half after the event, by the way. Now, that's a whole other issue. did we ignore it on purpose as well? To make it sound like, oh, wow, did that happen? Oh. And why is it coming out a month and a half later? Why is it coming out at all? The American people would never have known about it. So did somebody leak it? Did somebody know it was happening? Was someone going to report on this? Was it going to come out in a FOIA? What's going on here? So there you go. So I guess here's something I'd like to talk about. This is just going to be kind of a quick thing. Hopefully. I have been in some discussions with some friends recently, and in fact, I need to finish up some paperwork for a friend of mine who's doing a religious exemption. And the companies are offering those things, and I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday. And here's where I'm really coming down on this, because it sounds like a lot of companies are turning down the religious exemption. That you turn this thing in, and then they're turning it down. No explanation. They're just turning it down. Recently, a coach, I think, at a college in or a university in wherever it is, over in, I think it's in Oregon, possibly, or Seattle. I'm not sure where. Big deal. It's a big thing over in whatever college he was from. He applied for a religious exemption, and they denied it. I guess he's a Catholic, I guess he's, from what I understand. And yesterday was the last day for him to work if he didn't get the vaccine. And I guess he was fired, basically terminated. Several police chiefs, state police officers, police, there was a large number of police in Chicago. That are going to walk off the job, apparently, or that are going to be fired, terminated. There's a lot of people turning this thing down. In pockets around the country, different places, there's just different groups of people turning it down. The reason this is happening is because people are realizing the ineffectiveness of this thing and why they're forcing it down our throats. Why something that's so ineffective, and of course they continue to come out with erroneous information. If you look at the way they're conducting some of those numbers, it is a very concerning thing. Because there are different numbers coming from the CDC, different numbers that they're putting out. And then different ways that they're calculating some of these numbers. And it's, now I know some people in healthcare, and I know that there are some issues with some of the, you know, there are some areas where people are, the unvaccinated are, you know, the infections in hospitals are definitely over populating. I don't know how else to say it. The numbers there show that the unvaccinated are having problems. There are other areas that have been much more highly vaccinated areas for much longer, and those areas are now showing waves of high infection rates among vaccinated individuals. Colin Powell, for example, was fully vaccinated. They don't want to tell you about that. Died of COVID. Complications to COVID. So we're getting this information, and here's the deal. I think that the religious exemption is a trap. I think it is a phony, bogus trap. The real issue here is just one of personal, individual freedom and liberty. Now, you don't have a right to a job. This is where it comes down to. This is where the fight is. And this one particular job, I'm employed by this one company, and they may be they're a subcontractor to a federal contractor. So they may be forced. So just that pretty much covers everybody. If anybody does business with a subcontractor, they will lose that business if they do not comply. And so they're forcing people to, and then the whole difference in the complying, if you have a business company that's over 100 people, the difference between that and a company that's working for a federal contractor, or if you are a federal contractor, is that there's no contingency. It's vax or nothing. No vax, no job. There's no contingency. There's no testing. There's no nothing. If you just have a company that has over 100 people and you don't have federal contracts, you don't do business with a federal, if you're not a federal subcontractor. My understanding is you can do weekly testing and that's compliance. Or you can do religious exemptions, but you still have to do, if you don't have the vax, you still have to do weekly testing. Some companies are doing antibody testing. Now, that is not really in the bill. That's not really in this, what's called, what this proposed mandatory thing is. This has not been put into place, by the way. This is all still just, it's all contingent. Some of the best people working at some of these companies are walking off the job. You have to ask why. However, the thing that really concerns me is the attitude of some other people in this country towards people who are walking off the jobs, people who are choosing to leave. I'm not going to be complaining and whining and crying and saying, you're firing me and I'm losing my income. I'm not saying that at all. You won't hear me whining and crying about it. You will hear me pushing back and possibly suing them for doing so. I may be willing to spend my entire life savings taking this to the Supreme Court, which I don't trust the Supreme Court either, but doing everything I can. But however, I'm not counting on that. But I will do everything I can to fight, at least administratively, for the freedoms and liberties of those. I'm putting myself into this pool of people, and I'm going to walk with them through it. Because I believe this mandate is tyranny and fascism, wrapped up and tied with a bow. And they've convinced people in this country, just get the shot. Just get the shot. What's wrong with you? Just get the shot. It's a pandemic. It's not a religious. One person commented this morning. I made a comment on the video, this news broadcast, talking about this one coach that's getting fired. I didn't hear the coach complaining about it. He's willing to fall on his sword on this one. He filed for the exemption, didn't get it. So here's what happens. And here's the problem I have with the exemption. I'll get to that in just a second, actually. So he gets fired. I said, well, he made his decision. I said, what I put it down was the religious exemption is bogus. That's a farce, first of all. The company that's offering that, they can just deny them all. They give you this one opportunity to say something, then they're just denying it. Because you basically went down that road. Now they have plus they know all kinds of, they know, it's just, now they're asking you all kinds of questions, and in my opinion, they have, it's none of your business, first of all. But secondly, you know, they're giving you this one avenue, and they can just, that gives them the right to just, to turn it down. I'm refusing to take it based solely on the idea as an individual that they don't have the right to stick me with that. Because first of all, it is not a vaccine. The CDC had to change the definition of the word vaccine to make this thing a vaccine under their definition. This vaccine does not keep you from getting it, does not keep you from spreading it, carrying it, or dying from it. We can talk about symptoms all day long, lessening of symptoms. That's not a vaccine. That's a therapeutic. That's a prophylactic. It's actually a super spreader creator, because now you can carry it and not even know it. If you're carrying it and you don't know it, why would you be tested? Are we testing unvaccinated? Are we testing the vaccinated people to find out how many of them are carrying this thing? This is why now they're all of a sudden they're coming out with, even if you're outside or if you're inside, if you're vaccinated, you should probably be wearing a mask. because they're fine. This is not what we had. I think the people are still under this delusion that this vaccine works. And in reality, it does about 10% of what we thought it was going to do. We thought it was going to end this thing. It is not ending this thing. And yet, we are forcing kids who have studies show, peer-reviewed studies show, that boys between the age of 12 and 15 are 27 times more likely to have a heart-related incident that they end up in the hospital than they are from getting COVID. And we're forcing them to take a vaccine that is more dangerous than the virus itself. Why? What is up with this hysteria? And what is up with this fascination that everyone must be jabbed? It is really troublesome to me. It seems sinister, as Ron Johnson put it, to me. Something else is going on. I'm not saying the vaccine itself is necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I don't know. That is the one thing I do not know. I'm hearing a lot of reports on both sides about all kinds of crazy stuff. Some of it is really off the wall. Other things are obviously very true. And there are some real doctors out there who were absolutely pro-vaccine who have taken back from that position now because of what they're seeing on the ground in their practices. They're concerned. And of course, they are immediately canceled whenever they say anything. What is going on? This is far more than just making sure we get rid of COVID. This is a compliance thing. This is a way to control our society. And what's being put into place with all of this may be the bigger vision these people have. Now, keep in mind, this idea of a worldwide pandemic. Keep in mind, this happened during the George Bush II, George W. The original bird flu thing came out. He had this big, long, hour-long speech about a pandemic. Keep in mind, he was a very popular president among Republicans. People believed what he was saying. Of course, this was when Colin Powell was out there, and Colin Powell just passed away, rest his soul. I did not like Colin Powell's politics. And I appreciate his service to the country to some degree. I also don't appreciate the fact that he was probably involved in some of the lies and the cover-up with the Iraq War. Whether or not he just got duped into being the mouthpiece, I don't know. I don't know how involved he was with that. All he can do is go by what the intelligence is telling him. If the intelligence is bogus, then that's all he can do. I don't know. So I'll just leave it at that. However, the idea, the social engineers out there, the globalists and world controllers, whoever you may think they might be, I have my suspicions. They have this idea that we need to reduce the population, that we need to do, you know, all these different things, and that this pandemic gives them the opportunity to have a worldwide identification system. This is just one step in the process. How do you think this is going to unfold? We know that the book of Revelation makes it very clear. You will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. For those of you who believe in that, and now you're kind of seeing the spirit of that start to reveal its ugly head. How is it that that will come about? How will you get the whole world to comply to something like that? How will you get people to encourage other people, in fact, ridicule and belittle them if they don't comply? It's not just going to be some big tyrannical government that comes in and says, we're now going to do this to you. How's that going to work? Now, we have a military that's made up primarily of civilians. They have family. Are you going to make the military come after their own families and do that kind of thing? Are you going to have some kind of rogue government, some kind of... No, this is... Look, we scared everybody. We've created this hysteria. The next thing you know, everybody's pushing everybody else to do this because that's the only way you're going to protect society. It's your job. This is a pandemic. You have to, you know, you have a responsibility to society to do this. I would imagine it was probably a line that Goebbels would have liked to use. You have a responsibility to society to rid the world of Jews. Because we have to forward the evolution of man and the master race to build this utopian society. So, by the way, they were socialists. Don't kid yourself. So now all of a sudden, and here's I'm going to get back to this whole religious exemption thing. And here's why I think it's bogus. The religious exemption puts you in a channel. They can control this now. They don't want someone coming up and saying, I believe it's unconstitutional. I don't want to take it. What they're saying is, I want to take it based on religious grounds. So what do most of these things do? Most of these questionnaires, I've seen several of them. I've seen one from a good friend of mine, and several others from other people who've posted them online, asking people, what should I, you know, some of them are on forums, they're saying, well, how should I answer these questions? Of course, the answer always is, get yourself a lawyer. Tell them. Okay, well, the lawyers aren't theologians. First of all, I wouldn't answer any of those questions personally myself. I wouldn't answer any of them. Because here's what you're doing. You're placing in their hands the ability to say whether or not your religion is credible. Whether or not your theology is approved by the state. And that, my friends, crosses a line. I don't know of anyone who trusts and believes 100% in their pastor. If you do, I got news for you. That may not be a good idea. There is one who can be trusted completely and fully, 100%. That is the one who hung on a cross for you. Do not put your faith, your trust, your hope in a person on this planet. Even your very own parents, your very own mother, probably the person you can trust the most on this planet, should only be trusted about 99.9%. That may be controversial. But the fact that remains, they are human. And I can give them grace for that 0.1% that they cannot fulfill. They cannot be trusted. I'm not in any means going to condemn them or judge them for that. But I can guarantee you, politicians do not have your best in mind. They have their political careers to face. You are an expendable part of that. The religious exemption puts you in this pre-planned track that they now have control of. You disclose a lot of information that they have no business knowing. And all the cards are back in their hands saying basically thumbs up or thumbs down for you. We're going to deny it, get a shot, or go away. Nope, we've looked at your religious exemption. We don't think it's credible. Therefore, because your religion, your faith, whatever it is. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you ever had flu shots or not. It doesn't matter whether you took vaccines since you were 18. Last week, I changed my religion. My religion now tells me I can't take the COVID vaccine 19. I can't take any vaccines with the number 19 in it. Or anything that starts with the letter C. That's my new religion. You can change your mind. You know, you can change your religion. I wasn't born this way. I was born. I made a decision to follow Christ. So this really bugs me. Now I had this little argument with this one guy. Not an argument, just a discussion. And I said something about how now he was all pro-vaccine all of a sudden. This is a guy who believes in Dr. Kevorkian. For those of you who don't remember who he was, believes in assisted suicide. You should be able to die any way you want to. Okay, well, that's how about if I choose to die via COVID? You have a problem with that? No, just get the jab. He was kind of celebrating the fact that a lot of right-wing commentators were dying from COVID. He was looking them all up online. Let's see how many. These are all state people, like local people. He's going after. He's anti-vaxxer died. Like six of them have died across the country. I don't know how many thousands of them there are. He was like celebrating all the ones who had. And he realized he was being a jerk about it. Why would you like that? Why would you even think about that? If he's really a left-winger, you'd think, well, okay, just don't get, you know, because he's out there telling people not to get the jab. Okay, so why do you care? If these people are choosing, you know, you were telling people it was okay to kill themselves. And now you're telling people they have to get the jab or they're going to die. And folks, you're not endangering anybody by not getting a jab. The only argument that you could really come up with is maybe, well, you're overwhelming the hospitals. Maybe not. As we're starting to see the numbers change here and shift into in certain areas where the vaccinated are the ones who are overwhelming the hospitals. That is happening, folks. That's not conjecture. That's not. That is actually happening. Look at Vermont. That tide is changing somewhat. And of course, it always, the way this thing works is it always ramps up. The outbreak kind of ramps up in a certain area, and then all of a sudden it drops off like crazy. It drops off almost faster than it ramped up. Because it reaches a peak point, and then it drops off. That's what happened in Florida. Now all the cases, everybody's all, oh, look, the cases, oh, it's getting overwhelming in Florida. And they stop talking about it because it's gone. It's done. It goes back down. And we're not testing vaccinated individuals because a lot of them don't show symptoms. But how is this thing still spreading? We're still wearing masks. We're vaccinated. How is this thing still spreading? If masks worked and the vaccine worked and shutdowns worked, we wouldn't be talking about this a year and a half after it broke out. Yeah. All I'm saying is I am personally not going to go down the religious exemption route. I'm going to tell them what they're doing is unconstitutional, illegal, and it violates my civil rights. Period. Terminate me. Go ahead, make my day, because I will file suit for wrongful termination. I may not win, because the courts are going to be slanted in this idea that, well, it's a pandemic, everybody's. So that was the whole excuse for the mail-in ballots. Well, we don't have to do things by the law now. We have to let the law, we don't have to be flexible with the law because we can't enforce this law right now because it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. Yeah, we got to change the rules. Law is the law. Pandemic doesn't see, law doesn't see the pandemic. If it's a pandemic and the law doesn't matter, then I should be able to take law into my own hands, right? If I see a crime, I should be able to execute justice. Shouldn't I? If that's the case, because the law doesn't matter anymore all of a sudden. But that's not the case. The law still matters. I've gone long on this show. This is an hour and 10 minutes. Pretty long show. I still have some iced tea here. So I must have spent a lot of time talking and not a lot of time drinking. Story of my life. The rest of the day, I got a lot to do today, actually. Day's half over. It's lunchtime. And I've just gotten started. So I want to thank you once again for listening to my rants, for being a part of the show here this morning. I do deeply appreciate it. And hopefully I've inspired you to some degree that the fight that we have is not one of whether or not this is religiously, whether it's a matter of our religion, where we have to all of a sudden state our 5 points of our beliefs and our theological staircase. The whole thing is just, that to me is a bogus argument. And it just falls into the trap of them controlling the narrative. I just think this is a civil rights issue, period. And we need to fight it as such. And we need to join together, whether you're a believer or not. Because we have atheist friends. We're people who just are agnostic. I want to be able to stick up for them too. And how can I do that if they're not, if this is a religious exemption? How does that leave them? If they're an anti, vaccine, this particular vaccine, they don't want to get mandated to take this thing. Now, and there are plenty of people who've taken the vaccine who also don't like the mandates. And some of them aren't religious. Some of them, it's not against their religion. They just don't want to take the vaccine. And that's where it becomes a civil rights issue. The president can't just mandate and dictate your life. In fact, he's supposed to be representing your freedoms and your liberty, not the other way around. It's bogus and baloney. So, with that, and all that rat race rant. I shall bid you adieu. I'm not even sure what that means. I know when I step in a doo-doo, it's usually not a good thing, but I bid you adieu, not a doo-doo, because that would be messy on your shoe. Once again, folks, keep praying for our nation, pray for our leaders. Let's follow through with everything we believe, and let's stand up to, with courage, stand up to the tyranny that looms in our closer and closer presence. Let us stave it off together, because we're all in this together. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care. Be safe. Be strong. Be courageous.